Okay, thank you for the report. Someone called and or emailed. Let me get this going here. Okay. Someone called, or rather emailed, and asked if there's any way that they could have advertisement to post about Church at Home, like on community billboards, billboards on apartments and things like that, or just give to friends. And so Randy and I talked about how we could do it, and Randy developed this Church at Home card. So we had 10,000 of them printed. So you can have all you want, give to anyone you want, post it anywhere you want. And the 10,000 only cost $129 delivered. Okay? So we have more up here, so you can get those and take those and you can use them. Okay. There we go. Looking for my notes, and I had them covered up. Okay. Now, how many have been following what's going on in Europe with the banking crisis? Okay. I'm having Ron Kerry get the information, because I mentioned about how the Fed could loan almost an unlimited amount of money to any bank in the world. Now, how's that possible? Number one, it's not a government agency. Number two, it is an international bank founded by the same people who run the International Monetary Fund, who run the big banks in Europe, who control all the central banks in the world. And remember when the stock market went down just in time to get Obama elected, I made the comment that was done deliberately to get him elected. And what was announced right after that? What did President Bush announce right after that happened? Well, we're going to form the G20. Remember that? How many, you know what the G20 is? All the leading central banks in the world got together right after that, and they set out an agenda how they are going to have all the central banks on the same regulation, the same page, the same policies, and everything. And I said at that time, that's going to lead to the World Bank. Now, it's going to happen. But let me explain this. How many remember me talking about what is called the Depository Trust Corporation? Okay? Depository Trust Corporation was put into effect when they began doing digital trading. Before that time, you buy stocks, within 5 days you had them delivered to you. Now, instead of doing that, so you can buy and sell and buy and sell and have all these digital things that you can do online, all the original stocks and bonds go to the Depository Trust Company. Guess who owns that? The Federal Reserve. Guess what its net worth is? $26 trillion. Now, hold on. They also own trillions of dollars of deposits from other banks. They hold them. And remember, any bank that has an asset can loan on margin, meaning that they can take and loan money on those assets because they hold them. Just like you put money in your bank account and you think it's yours. Well, it is digitally. But it belongs to the bank, and that is counted as an asset, so they can loan other people money on a marginal lending rate. They found through history that when people would put gold for safekeeping and they would issue gold certificates, that a constant 12% was never claimed. So what they did, they said, okay, then we can take the 88% and we can loan it in paper to you and to you and to you and to you, and take it out 10 times. And every time they get a deposit back in a bank, that increases their assets. Well, it's the same way with the Federal Reserve. It's an international bank, and counting everything that they own, they have approximately $50 trillion in assets on which to make loans. They just lent to Europe $13 trillion. And all those notes come back and become assets to the Federal Reserve. Now, if you have $50 trillion in assets and you loan 10 to 1, how much money can you loan out? Because what you're doing, you're creating money out of nothing. No. No. 4.5 quadrillion. $4.5 quadrillion dollars. So you get all these reports, and all the reports say, well, Europe is ready to collapse. Not yet. The only way that they can bring in a one world currency is to get everything so overloaded with debt that all the financial systems of the world collapse at once. And then they say, oh, you're suffering. What a shame. We have a solution. See, Satan always has a benefit, doesn't he? Remember, Satan gives benefits for those who sin. That's called the pleasure of sin for a season. Then comes the hammer. And what do you suppose the final hammer in all of this is going to be? Mark of the beast. Now, there's still some people who believe that the mark of the beast is Sunday keeping. Are you ever going to get the Muslims to keep Sunday? Do you read it, all nations? The large and the small, the great and the infamous? All people? Oh, by the way, I just read a report that all equivalents of Social Security numbers are also registered in Switzerland at the IMF. Who? Okay? Now, it's going to take a while for everything to get to the point that they want to get to. Now, today we're going to talk about something completely different. This will be transhumanism number 5. Transhumanism, that which is beyond human, post-human, artificial human, called cyborgs or chermas. It's using technology, gene transplant, to create a better, smarter, more loving, more kind human race. They even have a church. Beliefs of the Transhumanist Church. I'll read some of those. There's the first church of transhumanism. Now, if you're online, plug in transhumanism and see what you come up with. There are the leading universities, government agencies in America and in every country of the world working full-time on this. Now, you go back and you look at the old movies, and you will see that it's just exactly as Solomon said, that which has been is that which will be. What's one of the first black and white movies that they had? Frankenstein. And that was based on an actual thing that took place in Germany in the 1850s, where there was a scientist dealing with a cadaver and electricity. And they didn't know it at the time, but you can take a nerve, hook electricity to it, and you can make it and the muscles move. So he put it on this cadaver, and it started kicking. And they thought he was going to bring it back to life. See? Well, let me read you some of the things that they say that they want to do. And it exposes something that is very important to understand, and that is man's greatest sin. You know what man's greatest sin is? And that's what Satan the devil inspires. You can improve upon God. You can be God like me, says the God of the world. And before we get into some of their beliefs and things, let me just state there are two paths of transhumanism. Number one, from Satan the devil, where he wants to take an input into the human genome. For example, they would like to create soldiers that had the vision of an eagle, the sense of smell of a bear, the killer instinct of a wolf, and the genius of the highest IQ known. To give them extra strength, to have battle long and hard and never fatigue. How many remember seeing the advertisement of this movie where this thin man, I'll use Randy for an example here because he's slim. We all wish we were your slimness, you know. We can't all have that, okay? Some of us have some of one thing and some of another thing, and others have something else. Okay, so we're all deficient one way or the other. Okay, so they enlisted him. And what they did before they were going to bring him into basic training, they put him into this machine. Closed it over, it had his head sticking out. And boom, boom, boom. Opened up and here he comes out with muscles and strength and power. And mental ability, see. Are we being programmed for transhumanism? How about Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman? Started out years ago on radio, Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy. All of those of us who are older and have gray hair, we listened to that. And then there was the shadow, you know. What lurks in the hearts of and minds of human beings, the shadow knows. Yeah, well, you know, and I remember in the fourth grade, boy, take the bus home, get home from school, run into the house, turn on the radio, and get all of those serial programs one after the other. Okay? So today we have Star Wars, Avatars, and all of that sort of thing, okay? Yeah, about the $6 million man, okay? Have we been programmed to it? See, God made us so that we are to improve physically, mentally. God is the other transhuman program. The one we've been talking about has been Satan's transhumans program to destroy mankind. See, because as I covered last time, how are they going to ensure that they do not combine the genes in such a way that they magnify the law of sin and death and create really horrible things? They have no way of knowing. And as I mentioned, one of the other ones, they now have an in vitro fertilization of a baby that has been born that they took genes from two women and put it into that egg so that, what do you want to call that, cyborg, whatever it is, has two mothers. You know, it was 4.5 months in one and 4.5 months in the other, you know, nonsense. Okay? But that's what they want to do. All right. Beliefs of the transhumanist church. See, men are still religious. They got to have a church, all right? We have a soul, and it is informational in nature, and they want to improve on human life. That's their goal. See if I have everything here, okay? So you go online and look these up. Here's one of their statements here. The aim of life is to grow and improve ourselves and our community. Now, community is in quotes because all life in the world is community. So this is saying they want to take from this animal or this species or whatever, splice the genes in, and let's see what we get. Now, here's the main one I want to focus on. We are our own saviors. We cannot rely on supernatural external forces to guide us on our journey. Sound a little bit like Jesus' seminar? Remember they said, well, we're going to give Jesus a demotion? Remember when they said, there's no God out there external to us? Same spirit. One is denying Christ, the other is denying Christ but embracing religion. Responsibility is on our shoulders to create the world we wish to live in. How have we been successful the last 6,000 years? Ethics, morality, and other philosophical questions must be answered that we provide for ourselves through rational exploration rather than seeking the Word of God. Has man ever found that? No. No higher power or supernatural entity need to be turned to for these answers. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, and the ends thereof are the ways of death. Everyone must take part in the process. That's why there's going to be a martyrdom of Christians at the end time, because by all means, in order to bring about the world that they want with Borgs and Chormas and robots, and you might ask the question, where is love? Where is hope? Where is understanding? Where is kindness? How do you get those? By genes? Has any ethical standard of men been a sufficient replacement for the laws of God? No. They can't do it. It is our future, and we all must lend a hand in its realization. To that end, we believe in the free flow of information and ideas and a direct participatory democracy in which all have an equal voice. By coming together as one in an informed and rational manner, we will come up with the solutions to the problems that face us. Didn't that get us into the problems we face? What does it say in Genesis 11? Why did God confuse the languages? Because this they now begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they imagine to do. And this is big time. This is the end result of getting rid of God. Lawless science, and lawless science started with what? Gene splicing. Oh, we're going to improve it. Now they're finding the genetically modified foods don't nourish the body. And in those in which they put insecticides, it goes into our digestive tract and causes great havoc and lack of digestion. Now, we've got cloned sheep, cloned calves. Wonder when they're going to present a cloned human being. Or one that is presented as the first genetically engineered human being. Don't you think there'd be parents who would do that? Pay him enough money? We'll make sure that he's an important and a brilliant man or woman? Okay. Question is, what's wrong with genetic engineering? You read the first chapter of Genesis. Everything is after its kind. When men cross a horse and a donkey, they get a mule, which is sterile. When they cross cows and buffaloes, they get a beefalo or whatever you want to call it, and in the next generation, it either goes back to buffaloes or it goes to cows. They are breaking kind after kind. That is lawlessness. See? And we're told that lawlessness is going to multiply everywhere, not just in religion, not just in behavior, in science, in technology, everything that man has. You will see on number four that I show you a picture where they now have a printing machine that uses nanotechnology and nanomaterial, and they, through a printer, they printed a full working bike. So if you think these things are not going on and you don't understand what's wrong with it, then why don't you do some research? Would it be right to splice in wolf genes to make instinctive killers for soldiers? Would it be right to implant kangaroo leg genes into a future basketball player? I mean, they'd have to raise the slam dunk to 30 feet. Okay. We are made after the image and likeness of God, so that we can become as God through God's transhumanism plan of being born into the kingdom of God through the power of the resurrection. Satan wants to destroy the human gene pool by making it after his kind and after the animal kind. You see? All right, let's continue on here. Okay. Reason, rational thought, and scientific methods are our tools in reaching our goals. We reject divine inspiration and other metaphysical approaches to arriving at truth. You have a Bible? You have the most up-to-date, long-lasting book in the world. It answers absolutely every one of these questions. The prophecies tell us what things are going to happen. There's one little phrase in Matthew 24 that I've covered, which I'll just review here. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. They were marrying and giving in marriage and eating and drinking until the day that Noah entered the ark. Right? Question. Is marrying and giving in marriage a sin? Is eating and drinking a sin? No. But he wants us to get a clue from as it was. So those of us living in the end time can look and see what we're doing now, and we can understand the summary in Genesis 6. Let's go back to Genesis 6. Let's just review it. And as we're turning back there, we need to ask some questions as we're going through this. Okay? Verse 5. And I remember Harry asking a question long, long ago, and I haven't forgotten it, Harry, and I'll continue working toward that end. He said that there must be a whole lot more in the book of Genesis than we've understood. And what is it that we haven't understood? We haven't made the comparison between what we're doing today and what it was like back then. Okay, verse 5. And the Lord saw the wickedness of man, that it was great on the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Do we not have that today? Yes, we do. What was the evil? Every evil under the sun. Matthew 24 says that lawlessness shall be multiplied and the love of many shall grow cold. What is lawlessness? Lawlessness is going against any law of God, be it a spiritual law, a physical law, a law of inheritance, a law of his creation, a law of the atmosphere around us, a law of the earth beneath us, shall be multiplied. It also tells us, as I covered before, many shall go to and fro and knowledge shall increase. Wait till you hear number four. Knowledge is coming exponentially so fast that the doubling of knowledge is going to be down like to 3 months. And there are people, the next one I'm going to give is the Singularity University. Okay? This is big time stuff, brethren. Part of what they want to do is have people have their minds improved by computers. You go to work and you work all day, work on a computer, you have all these things in your mind, you go home, flop in a special chair, plug yourself into a computer and sit there and go, and you download everything you did that day. Was only evil continually. Now, take this principle that is true. I've mentioned how many times. When God says something, it's not to the minimum. It's always to the maximum. Always. Now notice what God felt about this. And the Lord repented that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Now that's something, isn't it? Yes, it is. It'd be like parents saying, oh, I wished I'd never had any children and brought them into the world because they're so evil. Now you go back through the rest of the Bible and you know that when there's one man who's righteous, God will consider it. But let's see what happened. There was only one man, right? And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the crawling thing and the fowl of the air, for I repent that I have made them. Why? Why destroy all life? Now that's pretty serious, isn't it? See. This is the part that is not spoken of in Matthew 24, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. We have to come back here and see what they were doing and understand that it affected all human life, all animal life, all reptile life, and all bird life. Why did God have to destroy that? Let's go on. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man and perfect in his generations. And generations could be genealogy. That's another clue. Does this tell us that the genealogies of everyone else had been messed up with? Look how far we have come in 150 years with the knowledge that we have. You know, from horse and buggy to going to the moon. From riding horses and jackasses and camels to going in cars and airplanes and motorcycles and bicycles and all of this. And our lives are short. Think of what it was with those long lives back there. Think of all of the evil in your mind for, if we can possibly imagine it, of someone being 700 years old and they have all of this memory and all of this evil. And all of these things, do you think it would be beyond, on, how should we say, imagining or speculating, truthful speculation, that they were doing the same thing then as we are doing today? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Now, someone got all upset with me when I said, well, Noah must have had power tools to build the ark. You want to try building one with an axe? If we have discovered electricity, what do you think they discovered living long as they did? Have you ever watched a program on gene splicing? Once you know the key, it's very simple. You just get the genome, you count down to where you want, you pluck it out, you splice in another one. They did that with tomatoes, and they put in a flounder gene, which keeps it so it can keep from freezing. For potatoes, they put in a moth gene to keep it from spoiling. Read up on some of the genetically modified foods. All right, let's go on. So he was perfect in his generations, for Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Do we have that today? Go home, watch your news. go home and get online. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh. Now circle all, because it means all. All flesh, not just human, but animal, reptile, and bird, had been corrupted. Corrupted their way. All flesh. God said, "You know, the end of all flesh has come before me." How do we understand all flesh? Well, what did he say he would do? He would destroy man and beast and the crawling things and the birds. It's all flesh. They have flesh, don't they? Every one of them. Yes. "For the earth is filled with violence through them, and I will destroy them with the earth." Now, how bad must it have been that God would do such a thing? Well, we're reading as it was in the days of Noah today. Did they reject God? Yes, they did. Did they know better? Yes, they did. Did they use reason, rational thought, scientific experimentation? Yes, they did. See, now, the summary that we have here in Genesis 6 could not be fully understood as it applies to our days until we reached this point. All right, next point. We must transcend our current biological limits to ensure the continual growth and existence of our soul. They believe in souls. They believe in spirits, but not of God. Go online and look up a special project at the Arizona State University, ASU. And they have a project there that they are directing students to search out the spirits. Guess who is going to answer? Satan, the devil. Okay? While our beliefs show us there's no limit to the progress the individual can achieve, we do find that there are practical limits to the human body. While wondrous in its current form and function, it is not designed to carry our growing souls forever. Really? What an astute observation. Age, disease, death, and limited capacities of our body put an absolute limit on how much an individual can achieve. However, we believe that these limitations can and will be overcome. To continue our growth and self-improvement, we must transcend beyond our current biological limitations. We must become immortal. Age, disease, and even death itself should be eliminated. Who are they pretending to be? God. Now, you know why the elite are so smug? You know why they're so arrogant? You know why they look down on people like us who believe in God, believe in the Word of God, and the Word of God is more valuable and more up-to-date and more modern than anything they can possibly come up with, because this is the Word of God to humanity. Universal immortalism is one of the ultimate goals of existence. They want to become immortal. There are others that I have here. Beliefs of the Society of Universal Immortalism. All right, now let's look at some things. Let's answer the question, can man save himself? And we'll find the answer, okay? Let's come here to Ephesians, the second chapter. See, all the answers of all the experiences of men are contained in the Word of God. Now, some people may not like to hear that, because after all, this is an old stuffy book, 2,000 years old, so how can it be up to date? Because God has hidden the truth of that if we properly divide the Bible and put it together the way that He wants it. Okay? Let's begin in verse 1, Ephesians, the second chapter. Before we do that, let's take a little break, and we'll be back.